Well, we know that we've got a lot of shift workers listening to this program and many people out driving in their cars. Well, you're not alone. There's an estimated 1.4 million shift workers in Australia, and it's thought that up to 10% of them are at risk of shift work sleep disorder. It's a worrying statistic as sufferers are not only putting their own lives at risk, but those of others as well, because researchers found that the greatest sleep-related factor identified as contributing to motor vehicle crashes is indeed shift work. Associate Professor Mark Howard, a specialist physician in respiratory and sleep medicine, joins us now to talk about this. Professor, what is shift work sleep disorder? I've never heard of it before.
Well, everyone undergoing shift work is affected by reduced sleep, periods of acute sleep deprivation, and of course having to work at night time. They tend to be sleepier during the night when they're trying to work at that time. But a smaller proportion of people are particularly severely affected, and they get a lot of insomnia, more sleep restriction, and as a result of that, of course, greater sleepiness and essentially impairment of brain function.
And is that just a function of shift work because of the circadian rhythms, or whatever they call them?
Yes. There's an individual factor involved. But with shift work, you're trying to sleep during the day when your body clock is telling you you should be awake. So naturally, it's harder to get good sleep at that time. And it's also often disrupted by noise and light during the day. And then at night time, as you've said, the circadian rhythm is trying to tell you to sleep at night when you're supposed to be working. You know, at the end of a night shift, your first night shift, you may have been awake for 24 hours and you're trying to drive home at the end of that period, so you're acutely sleep-deprived as well. So it's really a combination of all of those factors. And then the individual factor, which in some people means that the results are particularly bad.
Okay. I want to talk about some of the outcomes in a moment, but can you train yourself? Is it possible to train the body to overcome these difficulties?
Well, I would say you can train the body. Occasionally, you can adjust your circadian rhythm. So if you're on long periods of night shift, you may get some shift in your circadian rhythm that will partially adjust you to shift work. But all the research in the fact shows that that's rare, and most of the time it doesn't occur, particularly on short periods of night shift.
Okay. Talk us through some of the risks associated with shift work sleep disorder.
Yeah, so brain function is impacted, and that means we have poor attention and concentration. It impairs mood, so increased risk of anxiety and depression. Many shift workers will be familiar with being grumpy with their family or their pets or their colleagues when they get home from shift work. And then, of course, there's a greater risk of accidents and injuries, and that includes at work but also driving, and particularly driving home after a night shift.
Yeah, I found that staggering, that the greatest sleep-related factor identified in motor vehicle crashes is shift work. And, I mean, it stands to reason, because shift workers are the people that are on the roads at that time of night, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, we did an interesting study in Boston where we took people and drove them in a car for 2 hours after their night shift. More than half of those drivers on a prolonged drive had a near-crash event when driving for a long period after night shift.
Jeez. What are the solutions? I mean, obviously, well, the real solution is don't work shift work, but that's not practical for, I imagine, most of those 1.4 million shift workers. What can we do to try and combat this?
Yeah, there's some basics in trying your best to get enough sleep. So on a night shift, sleeping immediately after you get home for as long as possible is advisable. Minimising things that might disrupt your sleep at that time, so keeping the room dark, reducing noise. You can use masks and earplugs to help with that. And then if you don't get enough sleep, you can supplement that with naps or an additional short sleep later in the day. The siesta period, late afternoon to early evening, is often the best time to try and do that, because the body clock wants to sleep. And then we may need to use aids to sleep as well, so occasionally medication can be used to assist with better sleep during the day. And additionally, at night time, if you have persistent sleepiness, despite doing all of those things, then you might want to do one of a few things to improve alertness at night and when you're driving home. So your environment, better lighting, particularly bright white light or even blue light, has been shown to have a substantial alerting effect. Small doses of caffeine can be used, but you've got to avoid having that close to bedtime, of course. Mm. Otherwise, you'll disrupt your day sleep. And then for people with a persistent problem, it's worth seeing, their doctor and talking it through, understanding if they may have a sleep disorder, and occasionally we may use medication in addition to the other measures to aid alertness during shift work.
Yeah, it's some good advice there. One question relating to my own situation before I let you go, Professor, is I usually get home at 2:30 in the morning, and I will stay up and watch TV for about an hour and sort of try and wind down before I go to bed. Is that a mistake? Should I be going straight to bed as soon as I get in the door?
Well, you're correct. Many people will need a wind down period, particularly depending on what you've been doing. If you've been doing something that's stimulating and you're wide awake, then yes, you are better to relax. It is better to avoid light. So televisions and screens that have bright light exposure will tend to stimulate the brain and prevent melatonin kicking in. So it is better to do a relaxing activity, but preferably do it in the dark.
Yeah, okay. All right, some great advice. Professor, good to speak to you.
My pleasure.
That's Associate Professor Mark Hower, the Director of the Victorian Respiratory Support Service at Austin Health. If you're a shift worker, what do you do to try and make sure that you're getting enough sleep? 1327 10's the number.